Type Radio presents Sand Design Discussions.
Hello, I'm Janneke.
Hello, I'm Lauren.
We are at the Sandberg Institute and having a discussion with the following other students.
I'm Anya, first year student of the Sandberg.
I'm Maartje, also a first year student.
Michelle, also a first year student.
This talk is going to be about the Royal Christmas Message of 2009 by the Queen Beatrix. In her speech, the Queen claims that people are growing more independently. People are growing further away from their actual nature. The Queen subsequently links this behavior to the excessive use of social media, such as Twitter and Facebook.
De moderne technische mogelijkheden lijken mensen wel dichter bij elkaar te brengen. Maar ze blijven op veilige afstand, schuilgaand achter hun schermen. We kunnen nu spreken zonder tevoorschijn te komen, zonder zelf gezien te worden, anoniem. Domweg, grofweg, emoties uiten is makkelijk geworden. Op spreken zonder respect wordt niemand meer afgerekend.
Yeah, so this Royal Christmas message inspired us to start this talk. We then questioned our real nature, so if the Queen says that we are alienated from it. And Slavoj Žižek, a Yugoslavian philosopher, gave us an interesting answer on the Queen's presumptions. So in the documentary Examined Life, Žižek discusses the predominant attention for ecological threats today. He compares this ecological threat to the religious idea of the fall. So Slavoj Žižek calls ecology the opium of the masses. In his discourse, he talks about ecology as an actual ideology which replaces the religious idea of the fall.
I think ecology, the way we approach ecological problematic, is maybe the crucial field of ideology today. And I use ideology in the traditional sense of illusory, wrong way of thinking and perceiving reality. Why? Ideology is not simply dreaming about false ideals and so on. Ideology addresses very real problems, but it mystifies them.
The idea of ecology is that the world is a balanced, organic living thing which is disturbed by human action. So he explains that this idea is a secular version of the religious story of the fall. This idea that man is sinful actually, and that should always put on new habits because he is born as a sinful man. And so he explains this ecology from this perspective.
And interestingly enough, the Queen also starts her speech with this Christian message.
Met zijn komst straalt in onze wereld het licht van de liefde die ons verbindt met God en met onze medemensen. Wezenlijk is de aloude opdracht: hebt u naaste lief als uzelf. Vandaag is het minder duidelijk wat dat betekent. Weten we nog wie onze naaste is?
Het is een idee. That technology is alienating ourselves. I mean, this is what the Queen states, of course, but he points out that this is a wrong idea of thinking.
Yes, quite black and white thinking. It's maybe not that easy just to say, like, makes people less talk to each other and real, but it also makes people talk who normally just stay home and don't go on parties, or they have no opportunity to find each other. Like, they're those weird nerdy single pages, but then maybe it's also good. Normally they would just be by themselves, and now they can find their other nerdy half. But there are a lot of people who have problems to get social contacts, and that's helping, I think. And it's also helping if you go abroad. For example, me now in the Netherlands, I don't have my network here. I have it at home, and it's really easy to keep in touch with our people like around the world. Are you guys actually using Twitter? I see a lot of people in like congresses using it, like typing what is said, and I find this very dangerous actually. Because I was seeing this You and Me and Everyone We Know as a curator, there was Bruce Sterling, and I saw this girl typing everything he said, but then I saw like that's not what he's saying. Like she got it totally wrong, and then she has probably like 500 friends and they're reading it. It's really dangerous. Wow.
But that would happen anyway. It's not a matter of the media, you know? She would go anyway to a discussion and say the exact same thing as she is typing on Twitter.
Yeah, but written words somehow different. It's more legitimate.
You know, the New York Times like has almost like half of one of its sections is dedicated to correcting all the misquotes they print, all the mistakes in the statistics they publish. Mm-hmm. Like, they have so many mistakes. So maybe this is about quoting or something, right? About misquoting someone. And it going to a lot of people, but I think misquoting happens on an even more massive scale. But I know what you mean. I notice a lot of people at conferences typing away to the point where you can't hear the speaker because the keys are so loud.
But what is interesting is that the Queen really and talks about the use of social media as something new. Like, she really treats it as a new virtual life that you have, and it's almost a replacement for your actual life. That's the way she talks about it. But how virtual is virtual life?
Yeah, really? Maybe that's really because she is not as used to it as we are. I mean, we grew up using internet. For us, it's not such an alienated thing because we are...
But we know
how to use it, and I think more people of old age are not familiar with the tools, and that's also why they feel alienated by it.
But doesn't she express as a general conception around technology? You know, even though now you have more virtual.
The same fear they had about telephones as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same fear they had about the printing press.
And about trains.
Yeah.
Cars, too.
Cars.
Bicycles.
Anything individual. I mean, the Walkman was also like, goodbye Ghetto Blaster, you know, like public form of portable music. A hello personal life. But, yeah, I mean, maybe it is, especially the opinion of people who do see it as not part of their life, and therefore it's something outside the life that they have, and so it's kind of alien to them.
But I also think that the Queen refers to people who can now sort of express their opinion anonymously through the internet on forums and stuff. Personally. And you see people getting more and more rude, and really more rude than, like, if you meet the people in person, then this would not be possible. You would be like a complete asshole in every respect if you respond the way people sometimes do on these forums.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think so.
To name somebody an asshole on the internet is, it's just a word.
No,
actually, like confronting somebody and saying it in his face is much harder, I think.
Yeah, true.
I think I'm not giving a percentage, but a lot of these people who do respond like that on these forums would never do so in the real world.
Yeah. A great example is this Tinkerbell book. You know, the artist who made a bag out of her cat and then got all the spam from a lot of actually teenage girls saying, I will kill you, I will make a bag out of you. This is not something they would say in everyday life, I'm sure. Because you see the pictures that Coralie found of the senders of the emails. You see the pictures in their life, and you can assume, I think, that they are not that violent.
But isn't it great that there is a sort of a platform for this also?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking all the time. Now you can...
It's also giving a platform being critical again. It's giving you a voice, and it's animating or motivating to critical thinking, I guess. Yeah.
But maybe the Queen is sort of blaming the whole system of the internet for people for people allowing people to sort of hide behind that. While that sort of it just happens. It's just cause and effect kind of thing. And it doesn't make really sense to sort of blame the internet for people becoming alienated from the other people.
Are people being really critical? I mean, there are a lot of there are not really so many discussions. There's comment boxes, and now I see more than often that people leave comments such as "Wow, cool." I mean, what do you do with that? Also, then is there no?
Anywhere on the internet. Yeah. Maybe I have seen quite some literary forums now that really have lengthy comments of 20 sentences really explaining a whole ratio, and I think those things are more going to come, and it comes together with the idea that internet is a little bit more than just a mass media communication, you know, that it can also produce really critical and good journalism, for instance, you know, through users.
Of course, not everyone is a critical person also. Right? Not everyone is critical to every subject.
So that would show up as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
it makes sense. You also don't have that much critical comments when you would read out a poem in the train. You would also not get the most critical comments, or in the supermarket. Maybe one or two, hopefully.
But I think as a medium, it does kind of have a... Yeah, on the one hand, it has the ability to really just... reflect, I guess, how people are thinking, whether they're critical or not, but it also has its own filters. It does tend towards the shorter side of the coin in terms of the amount of time you spend lingering on a subject. It's biased towards shorter comments, shorter thoughts, shorter arguments, shorter things in general. I mean, it's kind of like television. Although, yeah, television can be really educational and critical. It also has, like, you know, soundbite marketing, entertainment stuff, right? So television has the ability also to reflect really what's going on, but it has a bias. It does tend to format things in a certain way. You definitely don't have, like, six-hour debates on the internet. Unless they're live or something, they tend to not... Typing comments doesn't really seem to engage longer, kind of, in-depth debates.
I'm not really okay with what you say. I think it's really... The internet is a platform that is growing now, and it has many functions, and it will have more publics. I mean, it will have different publics, you know. For instance, a YouTube public is one that is so general that I don't expect interesting discussions there. You're not talking to people who are specialized in the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people looking just wanting to see. They just want to treat it as television more, you know. And as soon as you have really websites that are really set up for a specific kind of crowd, I really believe that through the internet you can make a crowd for yourself. But exactly this crowd will allow new discussions or a different way
of
discussion.
I think that's exactly what I was saying, was that both of these worlds exist on the internet. But it does have its own personal biases. Like, for example, if you can't afford a computer, you don't have the internet, you're not welcome. That's a huge bias also. There are biases in terms of, like, what you can talk about. There are biases of access. There are all sorts of things involved. So the internet definitely has, I think, still a way of biasing itself. Mm-hmm. But it does allow a lot of different things to exist.
What is really interesting is that Slavoj Žižek says totally the contrary of what most people say. I mean, here it's being said already, and the Queen also states it, actually, that you should somehow become more real, you know, and have real contact. And he says, but this is on more on the topic of ecology, but it somehow really relates to how we think about technology too. And he says,
I think that what we should do to confront properly the threat of ecological catastrophe is not all this new age stuff to break out of this technological manipulative mold and to found our roots in nature, but on the contrary, to cut off even more these roots in nature. We need more alienation from our life world, from our, as it were, spontaneous nature. We should become more artificial. We should develop, I think, a much more terrifying new abstract materialism, a kind of a mathematical universe where there is nothing. There are just formulas, technical forms, and so on. And the difficult thing is to find poetry, spirituality in this dimension.
This is, in a way, it argues for a quality use of the internet, right?
Exactly, this abstract material world that he explains.
Yeah, well, it relates a bit in the project Janneke and me did last year. We organized a Facebook dinner.
Yeah.
Having dinner together with your friends, but not at the same table in the same space, but via the internet, via Facebook. So uploading posters or photos of the pancakes we all made, but each in your own kitchen. But in the end, it didn't really...
Yeah, it was not taken serious as a dinner. So it was... An art project, and also people did eat pancakes, but they didn't communicate it, so... If there was
a whole point.
if there was a photo of a pancake, there was a comment from a friend, but he didn't reply on it because it was not a discussion. They didn't feel as attached to it if they were at the same table, and it was the same for the invitations that they said I will be there and they weren't. And this is also something different. That you can reply very quickly without the consequences.
You also treated this gathering on a social network like a real life thing. You know, you named it a dinner, which makes it somehow illogical. You know, you cannot have a dinner. It's like, you know, it's like making the new medium again the old medium, which is a little bit. An old way of thinking of it, but I think it already happens quite a lot that people gather for certain things on the internet.
Probably the colder the country, the more internet users.
Is there?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, you might see statistics on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's urban versus rural kind of setup as well.
Yeah, but this is being countered with an iPhone, though. Either if you have an iPhone in Norway or in Spain, it doesn't really matter. You're all day connected and you have all day possibility to browse.
Yeah, there's no weather on the internet, I guess.
No, but if you choose to go out to a bar, then I don't think... Well, I don't know. I mean, when you go out with your friends or you're on your iPhone,
Are you one of those people?
I'm sorry, I'm not. A lot of my friends are.
But are we so conservative that we hate this? Because I'm also really annoyed by it. But is that just me being conservative and afraid of the progression on internet?
What do you hate about it if somebody else is twittering
while you're having dinner? It just doesn't feel like I'm together with someone. If they are actually partially outside of the conversation into their iPhone or online, it doesn't seem like you are together.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's real
it's like watching TV during dinner.
Bad manners.
Exactly.
That's
maybe
bad manners.
It's really rude.
Yeah.
But it does touch on what you said. You used the word, if it replaces your real life.
Yeah.
If it's an add-on to things you're socially doing, then it's quite okay to use whatever means you have, especially the internet we're talking about now. But if it sort of replaces your real life, for instance, like if you choose to Twitter instead of having a decent conversation with your table, you know, the person you're sharing the table with, then it's sort of replacing, one is replacing the other, and that could be, I'm not saying it is, but that's sort of what we're signaling here, that is the negative thing about it. But it does, I mean, I sometimes get the impression it does give people a sense of purpose to sort of record everything they do in their life, to sort of see that back on the internet makes them,
yeah.
Oh yeah, sure, I exist, I'm here, I'm causing things. And you can see it here, right here, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever.
Look how cool I am, you know, period. I mean,
that's sort of pathetic. It can be really pathetic sometimes, you think, you know, if that's the only life you lead, like if that, or it leads to that being the only life you lead, then it's a problem. I think.
I don't know.
But
why is
there an identity through it, right? So like the way you set up your Facebook, you cannot set up Facebook that much already, but you know which kind of pictures you have. I'm always really aware of it, you know? What kind of pictures, what am I showing about myself kind of builds out my identity.
Did you know the Queen also has Facebook?
How many
she
friends
has,
does
like,
she have?
350 friends or something.
But Obama has and Sarkozy have staff that manage their Facebook and Twitter accounts. Like,
well, Obama's campaign took advantage of the media. They wouldn't have raised so much money if they didn't use Twitter or Facebook. That was also what was clever about his campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, most of that had to do with getting people to the polls, young people to the polls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they somehow got to that through the use of social networks.
That, yeah, but not the fundraising, I mean.
Slavoj Žižek is also really touching on is ecology. This is a quite different topic from technological media, you know, but he states that the rise of ecological threats and the way we perceive that the world is somehow revenging itself on us is a could be like a new religion, is the new guilt feeling talking to us. Ecology is taking over the role of a conservative ideology. Don't mess with DNA, don't mess with biogenetic experiments. And again, he talks about ecology becoming kind of like a myth, you know, that we are alienated from our immediate natural environments. Yesterday, watched a newspaper in Belgium, the online newspaper now has a, they don't have the basic categories international, national anymore, but they somehow have Planet Watch now. And Planet Watch, I just clicked on it, was really a whole page with, I don't know how many ecological threats, but it had like two tornadoes, one tsunami, four earthquakes, you know, really like a lot of floods. And I mean, from that page, you can only take one basic statement from that. Like, Earth is totally
going to shit.
Yeah, it's burning out, and also is revenging itself.
I think we are just more aware of it.
But do you think so? I think tsunamis and earthquakes and have always happened.
Yeah, I think so too. That's what I'm saying. I think now we hear about them, and 200 years ago we didn't hear that if there was a tsunami in the still ocean. You just didn't know. But I'm sure they... Actually, I'm not an expert, so I cannot say.
But I assume
that they existed then.
Why do we report more on them? The 90s were definitely a time when there was more report on civil wars, and you know, then maybe the 80s, then the rise of these screaming images of black African children came up, you know. But then I have the feeling that then the emphasis was more on people and on wars and on this, and now the emphasis is more and more coming on ecology and nature. And
but it's also all about economy somehow. It's used by the economy. It's all about this feel-good consumerism. You know, you buy two coffees at Starbucks and then there's like 10% that goes in which is ridiculous.
Like, that's always been going on. But now what you see is this big money kind of moralistic, do the right thing for Mother Nature, or she's going to bite your head off, right? It's still this...
So you could state that buying a cup of coffee at Starbucks with 10% that goes to ecological ads kind of like buys off your guilt.
Yeah.
Because
a moral superiority complex, and the thing is that the environmental issue is not the first thing human beings have a moral superiority complex is about, right? This is just another thing onto which we latch, like where we throw on our cultural and social kind of habits. Saving Africa was the socially moral right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now saving the planet is the socially moral right thing to do, and there will be others.
Yeah, but next I think it will be technology. I mean, then it will say we won't have internet for like 2 days and the whole world will say, let's save the internet. Or I'm sure it will replace ecology. I think it will be also the new religion, and there will always be, you'll have moral reasons of why you should turn on, you know, go online or not, or God is punishing me because I have no online access. It's what he says in his talk is that, you know, everybody always seeks meaning for things.
Yeah.
And I think if you go into become also more and more part of technology, then again you will seek meaning in that.
I also don't think there's a big ideology behind it. It's really superficial. And I think it's changing again.
I think it's going really deep. If he calls it
an ideology, then he says that ideology mystifies real problems, for instance. You know, you every day you know that you're going to the toilet and you shit, and then it's gone, you know, and you don't think about it anymore. You have a basic assumption for it from where it goes, but you don't really think about it again, you know.
Mm.
And then he talks about, you think the same way about garbage. It just goes in a way. And then he says ideology is a way of just clearing out basic problems for yourself. So for him, ideology is exactly a very negative thing.
But, I mean, turning off the lights and not throwing your garbage on the street for my grandmother was just like something you just don't do. I mean, you don't not do it now because you want to save the planet and feel good about yourself. Because for her, maybe it was also moral. It's what a good Christian would do, right?
It's not only what people do, right? It's also that there's more green stuff you can buy. I mean, they changed the whole micro system. I mean, that changed because people want to buy it, right?
But that's also really superficial. There's also like the biological discounts now, and then you buy biological meat, but then the corn the pigs ate were like really
genetically modified.
It's interesting that green sells right now, and I'm not sure if that's a totally negative thing. Mm-hmm.
Get that
it's
way.
More about your own good feeling. It's not about the world's like doing something for the world. I think it's more coming up that you want to be healthy and you do something for yourself, but that's very selfish.
But a lot of green claims are very false. There's, you know, like that's, because that's the only thing that bugs me is that it's so hype.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell fact from fiction, so.
Yeah. Well, I was really a little bit startled when I saw a website with and the people who did the EcoWare redesign, and it's probably really naive that I'm actually a little bit offended by it, you know, but it said, in the Netherlands and Belgium, most eco brands look uninspired and old-fashioned. After research in the UK and USA, we found some really good ecological packaging that helped us convincing EcoWare. So, which I think is really funny, actually. It's really a brand, you know. It's even though it has some environmental idealism behind it, in the end, it is just selling and it's about markets, how much they raise money. And so then how far does this ecological purpose go if they really buy an advertising company, you know, they ask them to make this identity, which I probably pay quite some money for it.
I mean, if one buying these eco products is definitely the better choice, what does it matter if you're going to make it look more attractive? I mean, if you're going to make the general public buy it and then therefore have a better effect, surely isn't that the better way?
Yeah, it's already less honest, maybe.
Like vegetarian meat, you know, like they choose the form of meat, like some sort of beef patty or whatever, and it's vegetarian. And like, why does it have to look like, you know, they choose a shape that people know, so that's the way to market it. And it's really strange. It could be any shape, but they decide on this sort of meaty kind of form.
Yeah, because I think that's the easiest way
for somebody to accept it.
Well, it's the bad thing is that I think it's sort of these messages, like, you know, that 95% of these labels or stamps or green, you know, like things to make it okay, are fake.
Yeah.
Sort of, but it sort of it sort of troubles the whole discussion about it. Like, the whole idea of doing that, of making products more green and more sustainable, is a good idea, basically. Still, like, the people, the advertising agencies taking it into their own context and misusing it, that doesn't say anything about the whole idea of...
It's the same when I see back, when I see food products and they say, oh, 2% fat, you know, fat-free, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get that. You know, it's the same sort of... It goes back to that personal sort of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt that it's very broad, the subjects he was trying to cover, and in terms of the technological alienation, and then jumping over to an ecological alienation, I found the connections a little hard for me to make, but I think if you talk about being alienated from nature, it's like the weirdest thing in the world to me, because I think humans are part of nature too, so...
I don't think
that's what he meant, though.
He's not saying alienating from nature, but not using it as a religion, not giving it as an excuse. I mean,
somehow ecology is really related to technology. Not he relates it not in the way that it actually is, but in the way we perceive it. So we perceive it, or we maybe use it, you know, as an ideology, as something that you buy off your guilt with. But you're always going to talk about technology, that it's something in addition, like it's like a fungus on our life, you know, and it's basically destroying our natural way of things, and it's, you know, it's not meant to be there, and it's disturbing our natural process. And what he says is that there is no such thing as a balanced natural process. He explains then how oil came about, you know, and then he says the earth is one big catastrophe, that's what it came about, and then, you know, oil somehow came out of this catastrophe. The whole idea that nature is a balanced round circle, you know, and that everything has a purpose and everything is there with a meaning, is just a wrong idea, you
something
know
we make it's, up.
It's exactly the same story that the Bible declares,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Everything was there for a reason. Humans just have the natural
need to
explain everything.
But he does want to go to this mathematical world.
He thinks that we should not do as New Age people would do and go back to nature and do more yoga and, you know, get back to your roots. He says that you, to really confront you with that ecological threat, you should become even more alienated. Again, that's funny that he says it, because alienated it. Not really, you know. We should maybe become more next nature.
Yeah, but yeah, I read this interesting book called Landscapes and Memory by Simon Schema. Yeah, I mean, the main thing is that nature is cultural, period. Again, it's a thick book, like a brick, but at the end of the day, it's really just this idea that
nature
is
cultural.
Really cultural, because
yeah, exactly.
If we destroy it, it's for a cultural reason. If we safeguard it, it's for a cultural reason. Like, whatever it is. And he looks at, like, this one forest, for example, in Germany. And he's like, how ironic is it, really, that, like, you know, the Germans during the Nazi era were the most ecologically, people who were trying to conserve all their forests. Nature isn't just really ecology. It's shaped by culture.
Mm-hmm.
How you view it, how you treat it, how you keep it, throw it, trash it, whatever.
This project by Kurt van Mentvoort, Next Nature, by which they call exactly nature is culture also. And then he states that technology is not technology. You could call it a next nature. It's something that comes with it, you know, in addition to it. Somehow our basic nature is changing the way we use it, you know, the kind of inventions we make changes nature, just because nature is a cultural preconception.
Yeah.
It's an interesting forum. They also quote Zizek quite a lot on that.
Yeah, it does make sense, because developing countries like China, they're hardly called that now, right? if you're so struggling to survive every day, you don't have time or money or resources to think about like what you're doing to the environment. You know, that's also really like a sort of Western world kind of perception of the whole problem. Like as if we were the only ones in the West, we were the only ones like suffering from that, you know, ecological disaster.
But we are the ones who are panicking the most.
We are sort of well off. We're so wealthy that we're sort of, we're able to think about it. You know, we have rooms.
But sometimes poor people are the most sustainable in the sense that they are more frugal with their resources. You know, but it's funny to think that, yeah, who is being the most eco in that sense?
Thank you for joining.
Do you hug trees?
Specialized, you know.
Without
Then maybe
um